Hello, New Covenant. This is Sharon Chubbuck. It's so good to be with you today to share virtually and in person on this first Sunday of Advent. Judson and I were college students in Ron and Donna Simpkins' living room Bible studies, and then we became part of the official New Covenant in 1976. 25 years later, in 2001, we moved to Milwaukee, where Judson has worked as a professional counselor and hospice chaplain. He's now retired. And I worked as a professor of education at Marquette University, teaching people how to be teachers, with specific focus and research on improving racial equity in the schools. I'm retired now as well. Marquette University is a Catholic Jesuit university. And for those who don't know, and I'm not sure I knew entirely when I went there, Jesuits are an order of the Catholic Church founded in 1540 by St. Ignatius and six of his followers. They call themselves the Society of Jesus. And when they entered into towns to do work with the poor and to establish education, and people asked them why they were there doing these things, they replied, "Because we are in the company of Jesus." So I have been immersed in teaching and learning, thinking about it, teaching about it, researching it, doing it for over 20 years. And so it's no surprise I've done it for that long. It's the gift God gave me. It's who I am. What was a surprise to both Judson and me is how much we would learn from the Jesuits at Marquette. Spiritual direction, silent retreats, the wisdom of St. Ignatius, a rich variety of visions for justice in the world. The list is long, and we are so grateful for them. For today, the theme I'm using is from Psalm 25, "Teach me your ways." And for this teaching, I'm going to draw from both of these sources, my knowledge of teaching and learning, and the ways Jesuits have taught me how to be a learner. Specifically, how is God teaching us, and how can we be good learners? When I read Psalm 25, I saw first a picture of a person just giving their entire life to God and seeking God's kingdom wholeheartedly. And then we hear the psalmist calling out to God in verse 4. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." Now the psalm goes on to describe confidence in God's faithfulness to be that teacher. But as I read this particular passage in verse 4, I read it as a teacher. And I thought about the teachers I've worked with over the years. And to be honest, I just laughed out loud. I could imagine the students in classrooms pleading, clamoring, "Teach me, lead me, show me how." And was the teacher standing off to the side, arms folded, not paying attention? Did the students shout even louder? No. Good teachers don't keep their distance from their students. Good teachers rush in, eager, delighted. "We are so thrilled you want to learn. We can't wait to teach you." I can just hear those teachers coming back to me saying, "Chubbuck, you'll never guess what my kids said to me today. They want me to teach them. I can't wait to go back tomorrow." I believe this is an accurate picture of God, our teacher. We don't need to beg. God is eager to teach us. Now, I've long thought that God is a remarkably skillful teacher. I mean, just look at Jesus' teachings. But I've not always believed that God is eager to teach me. Instead, when I found myself struggling with doubts, disappointments, confusion, I would duck my head. I'd turn away from God until I had figured everything out. Then, when I'd work out through what I needed to learn by myself, I would come back to God. Face to face, I'd look God in the eye. I remember many times meeting with my spiritual director, where I talked about my questions, my disappointments, fears, doubts, and his response was almost always the same. "Have you talked to God about this?" That question stopped me cold, because 9 times out of 10, I hadn't talked to God. I would duck and run, hunkering down alone till I figured things out. My spiritual director kept turning me back to God, challenging me to be honest, to be open and authentic. He was drawing on a foundational teaching of St. Ignatius. The Creator wants to communicate with us, the creation. Wants to. Gradually, I have come to believe, and still coming to believe, that God wants to be my teacher, even in my biggest messes, and that God believes I am capable of learning. So the first point I want you all to remember, we can approach God honestly, face to face, eye to eye, because God is with us, And God wants to communicate with us. God is delighted when we learn. So let's think then about what happens in the classroom of good teachers. Now, a good teacher has a clear learning goal that she wants her students to master. And a good teacher never takes her eyes off that goal. She plans her lessons to help students learn it. She gives the students information, questions, different experiences that are all designed to start the learning process toward that goal. For example, picture a science teacher with young students. This is a little bit dated, but it makes a good picture. She brings in a globe and says, "This is the Earth. This is where you live. It is shaped like a round ball." Now that raises questions. It can even create disequilibrium, throwing the students off balance as their old beliefs are challenged. "Teacher, what do you mean the Earth is round? I'm standing on flat ground. My eyes don't lie to me." This can be uncomfortable, but that nudge of discomfort is an important first step in the learning process. Now, there are a lot of valuable descriptions about how learning proceeds. One I find particularly convincing is called constructivism, a building project. Picture the children reflecting on this new, confusing information about the Earth. They poke around the idea in their minds. They turn it over to look at it from different angles, compare it to other things they know and believe. They begin to wonder. Then imagine the children, still wrestling with this idea, talking to their friend in the playground. "You know, the teacher is nuts. Look where we're standing. Do you believe what she said about round Earth?" And the friend says, "Oh, you know, my mom told me the same thing. And she even showed me a picture of the Earth that astronauts took from outer space, and it's a ball." "Really?" Now picture this child going home to ask their parents and grandparents what they think. The child begins considering that maybe what they believe needs to be adjusted. They're building a belief they can embrace. A good teacher creates spaces where the child can do this construction work. She asks the child to think on their own, to write down thoughts and questions. She basically communicates to students that confusion is okay because that's learning something new. Other times she groups kids together, letting them talk about the idea, perhaps giving them a model of the solar system to explore, letting them argue when they don't agree. And last, the good teacher puts her students in a place where they can try out their learning in real life. The child gets to look at other planets through a telescope, planets like the Earth. The teacher asks the children to predict, what will the horizon look like on Lake Michigan? Will it be a straight line? A curved line? What does that mean? The teacher may join these conversations, or she may step back and let the kids figure it out on their own, but she's always there. And slowly but surely, the child begins to construct an understanding they can believe. This is a simple example, but it can be applied to all of us, youngest to the oldest, whenever we're trying to make sense of something new. Alone with our own thoughts, in conversation with others, and in real life action, these moments are where we find the enchantment of learning. I believe this describes us as learners really well. God has one goal for us to learn. And God never loses sight of it. God wants to teach us to be more like Jesus, to bring a little bit more of God's kingdom of love, joy, peace, nonviolence, justice, beauty into the world. Now, personally, I pray a lot of petition prayers, even more during these times of confusion and chaos, pandemic, racial injustice and hatred, breakdown of civil discourse and affecting governing. Lord, please protect my children. Lord, heal my friend. Lord, have the jury reach a just verdict. Lord, give wisdom to the nation's leaders. A lot of asking, and I believe that's important. And sometimes God says yes, and sometimes no, and sometimes God remains silent. But I remember Ron Simpkins years ago telling us about the prayer, "God always answers yes." Lord, no matter what happens to me, use it to make me more like Jesus. Use whatever happens, monumental or mundane, positive or unspeakably painful. Make me more like Jesus. God won't save us from pain or guarantee good things will last. Lives show that. But God will say yes to this prayer because this is God's goal for us. Now, if God has a clear goal, God is also a good teacher who provides spaces for us to do the work of learning, the construction. For example, one space is alone in our own prayers and reflections. Jesuits have another wonderful guiding thought, finding God in all things. And they have a practice, a discipline they use to help them do it. It's called the examen, again, based on the teachings of St. Ignatius. Examen, or as one Jesuit said, rummaging through your day in prayer. The simple version works like this. Take 10 minutes of your day, quiet your mind and body, remember that God is present with you right there, then look back over your day and rummage through it. What moments or events produced positive feelings in you? Moments where you felt love, goodness, joy, peace. You felt it in your body and spirit, not just as thoughts in your brain. Those are called consolations. Then think about the opposite, desolations, the times during your day where you felt negative emotions, confusion, anger, uncertainty, jealousy, just that vague feeling in your gut that something isn't right. Then pick one of them, consolation or desolation, and examine it in God's presence. Talk to God about it, eye to eye, face to face, honestly. Ask God what God wants to teach you in it. Then listen to your thoughts. Turn them over in your mind, wonder about them. What do you think you're learning? And remember, the Creator wants to communicate with you, the creation. Remember that you can find God in all things in life. Remember that God is teaching you to be like Jesus, to bring a little more of God's kingdom into the world. See what comes up in your thinking. Jess and I have found this really helpful in wanting to hear what God's teaching us. Often I find that the thoughts I have over time weave into the big things that God's teaching me. For example, right now, I'm focusing on what kind of person I want to be in retirement. Not what I will do or where I will live, though I pray about those things too, but who I will be in retirement. It's fascinating how the consolations and desolations of my day are piecing together this bigger lesson from God. Another place we learn is in our dialogue with others. God created the church, the body, human connections because we need each other. It's in our nature to connect. And we learn when we talk to others. It can be fun, and it can be hard. Judson and I talk about what we are learning a lot. We sometimes do the examen together, and sometimes we agree, and other times we argue, iron sharpening iron, and we grow in the process, whether it is fun or hard. Another example, for the past 6 years, Judson and I have led a small group of younger people in Milwaukee, both black and white. Early in the pandemic, we spent several weeks reading and Zooming a discussion of books by African-American authors who describe the effects of whiteness and privilege in our society. Now, I've been studying this topic, the role of whiteness in institutional racism, especially in schools, for over 25 years. But these discussions introduced new ideas. I saw deeper levels where I had simply been unaware, even willfully ignorant, of how I was living out my white privilege. It was painful. I felt resistance. I felt anger. I felt shame and disappointment in myself. And I grew. And I'm still growing. This lesson is adding to my who am I going to be in retirement lesson. Our ideas of how we are learning and growing always need to be brought into the perspective of others, held up to be critiqued and modified. Learning to bring more of God's kingdom in the world is a never-ending learning process. And last, our learning becomes really deep when we take what we think we know and act on it in real life. Now, this is the most risky, but also the most powerful place for learning. Theory moves into reality. Gaps and errors start to show up. It sends us back to our prayers, our private personal prayers, and into conversation with others. It drives us back to listening for God's teaching. The mistakes that show up when we try to act on new insights, painful though they may be, become our most powerful moments of learning. As I think about New Covenant, exploring the question of reparations for greater racial justice and your role in it, I believe you will learn at all three levels, as individuals, privately rummaging through your experiences and talking to God about them, as a community wrestling with the ideas together, and in humility learning from the African American community, and finally, as the church takes action, learning and growing even more. In this process, always remember, God is delighted to teach us how to be more like Jesus and how to join together to bring more of the kingdom of God into the world around us. Now, some of you might step back at this point and say, yeah, Sharon, that's all very interesting. But isn't it really just some practical steps based on human psychology? I mean, reflecting is a good thing. Bouncing ideas off of others is valuable. Putting learning into practice is imperative. And I wouldn't disagree with you. The steps I'm describing to you are based on human psychology, and they are pretty mundane and simple. Rummaging through your day? Really? But a couple of things make this different. First, our faith tells us that God is with us, Emmanuel. Christ is with us. The Spirit is with us in all things. We live every moment in the lively presence of God. We can never be separated from the love of God. And second, we believe the Creator wants to communicate with us, the creation. God is eager to teach us. To quote another Jesuit, God is continuously engaged with us in a, quote, labor of love in a mystery of suffering, always to make us more like Jesus, to bring the kingdom more into our world. Now, if both those things are true, God is always present and God is eager to teach us, that changes everything. And these simple learning techniques I've shared with you are filled full with spiritual enchantment and power. New Covenant Fellowship and later the Jesuits have taught me that God is present and actively teaching me in places I often don't recognize. God's teaching seldom comes in huge pronouncements with trumpets blaring. Instead, God uses the mundane, the simple, things we miss if we aren't careful. Our job is to learn to notice, to seriously look for God in the simplest things of life and in the hardest things of life. You see, these places are quiet and subtle. They are in the dark sometimes, but it's a fertile darkness where seeds germinate and produce fruit. I'm going to end with a metaphor I always share with my young teachers. Imagine yourself looking out at your classroom, at the faces of your kids. Some are yawning, some are snarling, some are confused, some are bored, some are eager and open. I want you to think of them and to see them all as gifts wrapped up, Christmas presents, if you will. Some are wrapped in beautiful shiny paper with ribbons and sequins. Some are wrapped in brown wrapping paper, fairly plain. And some are wrapped in stained, ripped newspaper. But every single kid is a gift. Your job as a teacher is to never forget that and to unwrap every child and discover, set free, the gift that's inside. For us as learners, the places where God teaches us once in a while may be like shiny, sparkly gifts that we can't miss. But honestly, those are few and far between. Usually God teaches us in the simpler, more mundane moments of our lives, our conversations, our actions. They're wrapped in brown paper or even ripped newspaper, but they are places of holy instruction filled with spiritual enchantment. We need to believe God is with us and learn to see them, value them, unwrap them. Advent begins today. It's a time of learning, of reflecting, waiting, longing, hoping for God to be with us. It's a time to open our eyes and hearts to the reality that God has always been with us in the places we might not expect. A cattle barn, hillside covered with sheep, refugees' urgent flight to Egypt in the night. Let's enter Advent as learners, open and engaged. And communion, which we will partake of and share together in a moment. Communion is a time to intimately be with Jesus. And where does that happen? A scrap of bread, a sip of wine. Christ is with us in the simplest, most inauspicious things of life, filling them with spiritual enchantment and opportunities to learn. Pray with me, please. Lord, help us come into this season of Advent as learners, open, honest, finding you in all things. And as we share your very self at this table, help us to be intensely aware that you are present always, and that your constant joy is to teach us to be a little bit more like you, to bring a little bit more of your kingdom into the world. Amen.